Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. The Michelin Pilot Challenge
on IMSA Radio, part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
This is good to have your company. And on 100.9 FM at Sebring International Raceway, we are ready to go qualifying for the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge and set the grid for the Alan J Automotive Network 120. Hello everybody, I'm John Hindorf and we have 14 cars ready to take to the grid. Let's go straight down to our BDO pit lane team and Shay Adam.
Hello John, and hello to everybody out around the track and around the world tuning in for TCR qualifying, which is the first session up. They went green about a minute ago and we've had almost all the cars out onto the track. Not yet the number 33 Hyundai from Brian Herta Autosport that sat on pole at Daytona. It was Harry Gottsacker who did qualifying then and he did a very similar thing there. He's doing qualifying again here today. So we await to see where Harry will put the defending championship winning car on the grid for today's session. But yes, 14 cars out on the track. It will be 40 across the entirety of the qualifying session because two cars from VGRT, they were not on the initial entry list, but they have assured me they are full season entries. And it will be VG, Victor Gonzalez himself, qualifying the number 99 Hyundai because, well, his teammate is a little busy celebrating on the podium. Not going to tell you where he finished, though. You have to watch the Mazda series for that, the Whelen Mazda MX-5 Cup. So we've got that as far as our known qualifier. We also welcome in Racecom. As far as a new team is concerned, the number 12 out on track, Andy Lally not qualifying that car. So that is one more known qualifier that we have. But as far as everybody else, Don, you're going to have to let me know who they are as they trigger the pit out sensor.
Well, I could give you that. Thank you, Shay. As we have 12 of the 13 cars out on the track, the only one that hasn't gone out so far is the number 98, Brian Herta Autosport machine. We'll see who that is in a moment. So you mentioned Victor Gonzalez in the 99. It's Dai Yoshihara for Montreal Motorsport Group in the number 93 Honda Civic FL5. That's the older the newer of the two cars out there because L comes after K. Steve Eich for Hart celebrating his birthday. He's in the 89. It is Chase Jones for VGRT's number 80. Taylor Hagler for Brian Herta's number 77 Hyundai. Preston Brown for the 76. Gavin Ernston for Rod Shagger's Audi. You see, it's Eduardo who's in the Audi for Go Racing. Doesn't really help. Robert Wiggins for the number 33. Chris Miller for the 17 GDC Unitronics car. Nick Tucker for the number 12 Starcom Racing machine. LP Monteur for the Montreal Motorsport Group number 6. And Will Talley, Dr. William Talley for KW. And it is going to be Harry Gottsacker, I think, in the number 98 that takes out the Hyundai Elantra about a lap away from everybody else. Oh no, it's the 33, excuse me. So my apologies, misread the timing screen. I thought Robert Wiggins had already gone out, but it is Harry Gottsacker, and we're still waiting for his teammate, the number 98 car, to go through. Will it be Mason Felipe or not? We'll tell you as that car rolls off pit road. Jeremy Shaw, good afternoon. Just coming on to a 2:15, and it is indeed Mason Felipe who's going to take out that number 98. Couldn't ask for better conditions to this to go qualifying. It's getting a bit warmer now. It's up to 29 Celsius. That's 84 Fahrenheit in the air. Track temperature stays around the mid-20s or 77 Fahrenheit. The concrete here, it's a bit weird. If you had sun on a dark tarmac track, the track temperature would go through the roof. But there's an element of reflecting the sun's rays from the lighter coloured concrete. So it sits around about 25 to 30. And there's parts of the track that is paved over that'll be a bit bit warmer, but actually this is pretty decent qualifying conditions.
Yeah, certainly. It's pretty toasty out there. It'll give you a... The good news for the drivers is they only have to do a few laps. I mean, the tyres are going to be their ultimate best for three or four laps, and then park it and get ready for the race tomorrow. But the man to beat in the practice sessions in TCR, the first session yesterday was, the birthday boy today, Steve Ike, who set the pace yesterday for the Honda of America racing team, Honda Civic. That's car number 89. That was yesterday. So today celebrating his 45th birthday and out there qualifying the car, looking to give himself a nice little birthday present. Fastest though in the second practice session this morning was the number 17 car. That was Chris Miller, and it was Chris who set the pace this morning. That is the car that won the opening round of the season at Daytona back in January. Chris Miller and Mikey Taylor at the wheel at number 17 Audi. So first flying laps there completed, and it was Louis-Philippe Montour fastest on that first flying lap, 2:14.7. The best time in the practice sessions in TCR was a 2:13.552 for Chris Miller. The lap record is actually down in the 11s. Matt Pombo, well, the qualifying master, last year did a 2:11.796.
Wow.
That's a pretty stout effort. In fact, that would have put him about 20th in GS. But, yeah, good lap.
Now, that is a good point that you make there, because whatever times are set by the TCR cars, they will all start behind all of the GS cars when we come to the green flag of the Alan J Automotive Network 120 tomorrow. That's our Friday feature race. So it is literally these guys are battling amongst themselves. We get a sort of a split start, a little bit of a gap between the TCRs and the huge GS field. For reasons of safety, of course, the front wheel drive car get their tyres up to temperature and pressure on the driven wheels, i.e. the front wheels, pretty quickly. And as my friend and colleague Martin Haven, who did world touring cars for very, very many years, said, the role of the rear wheels on a front wheel drive touring car is to keep the exhaust from dragging on the ground. They do pick up pace very, very quickly in the early parts of the lap, and this is a good twisty start to the lap as well. So the tourers are pretty impressive. So all 14 of them are out on the circuit. And point of fact, really, they should be able to find some space, but I'll guarantee you that when I look at the Alcamel positioning, they're all in... Oh, they're not actually. I lost that. So coming up to turn 10 is the number 98, Mason Felipe. He waited a couple of laps for everybody to get out.
Yeah.
And he's got a huge gap ahead of him all the way through to the exit of turn 17, which is where the 33 of Harry Gottsacker is coming now. So
yeah,
he's
on a very good lap.
Yeah.
It goes to the top with that lap. 2:13.120 there for Harry Gottsacker. His first flying lap, as you were saying there, John Arnoff, he went out a little bit later than the other guys. So a little bit of TCR rubber laid down, taking advantage of that, plus the fact he's becoming a bit of a qualifying expert, is Harry Gottsacker. Last year's champion in this series, along with Robbie Wickens. And it was Harry who put the car on pole position last time out at Daytona in what was his 50th start in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. And it was his 8th pole position, which is more than anybody else in TCR in recent times.
Here's Mason Felipe now with a clear track ahead of him all the way to turn 7 as he comes out of Sunset. And he'll appear from my left in about a second. He crosses the stripe now. And the number 98 hugging the right-hand wall. So he was the last car out of the pit lane, Mason Felipe. So this is his first flying lap. So let's keep an eye on his times as he goes through the split. The first split is at the exit of turn 1. And he's through there now in a competitive-ish time. Just a couple of thousandths away from Harry Gottsack. It's a 12.595 against 12.541. So the two Hyundais at the moment, they came out a lap or so later than everybody else, have got up to speed very quickly indeed. It's still Gottsack with a 13.1 from Chris Miller for Unitronic JDC in the black and yellow number 17 Audi, with a 13.9 for Taylor Hagler.
Wow,
in the 77 car, just 8 tenths away from provisional pole. Where is the 98 car of Mason Fellini? Answer, heading up towards turn 10 now. Brakes for the right-hander, square right, 90 degree right, then get the power on and feed it through turn 11. Little left-handed kink, almost a double apex there, and to the kink at 12, balance the car on the extreme left-hand side of the track before down through the gearbox to tower turn at turn 13. Get on the power as early as you can. Use all of that exit curb up towards the fast-flowing S's now of 14, 15 and 16. Jean de Bian bend and the Le Mans corner that leads on to the long Ullman straight. This is decent by Felipe. Let's see what his split time is in the middle. 83.4. That's going to put him within striking distance of the front row, I would think. He's only got the Ullman straight in turn 17, then the run to the line to go. And he's got clear track ahead of him still. Those two Brian Herta Autosport cars positioned beautifully on the track. Felipe into the final corner now. Takes turn 17 under the Mission Foods bridge. Bouncing his way to the exit of turn 17A. Comes across the line. I'm leaning forward to see him as he comes from my left. And again, right up against the wall. And goes up to only third place. A 13.4 there. So he's 3 tenths away from his teammate, which is almost exactly what Chris Miller is. 0.299 Chris Miller away from pole, 0.302 for Mason Felipe. Good effort on a first flyer there for Felipe.
Yeah, no improvement there for Chris Miller, who comes across the line to complete his fifth lap during his qualifying session. Inside 3 minutes remaining, he lost a couple of seconds compared to his previous lap. I think he had a little bit of traffic in the final corner, Chris Miller, on that last lap. But he's just got personal best in Sector 1. Don't really read a lot into that through Sector 1 because it's such a short sector. From start finish line through Turn 1 and then just to the exit of Turn 1. So it's...
We've seen people have the best ever purple sectors there as they've gone steaming off into the boonies because they haven't actually... got turn one quite right. He had to pass Dai Yoshihara, I think, on that last lap, Chris Miller. But he's got some clear run now between himself. And actually, the next car in line is the number 98 of Mason Felipe. He's going through 13 now, Felipe, that is. Chris Miller not yet at 10. So he's got a bit of real estate in front of himself. Mason Felipe's team, round of applause for them. They got him out with half a lap of clear track ahead of him. I suspect that Harry Gottsack has pitted, has he? Yes, he has.
Yes, that was him coming in the pits now. Four laps total, an out lap, a flying lap, one more lap after that, and then in. So he's done. He knows what it's like to put these cars on pole position. He's the most successful qualifier currently in this championship. The most poles going back to 2001 in the Michelin Pilot Challenge, or its forerunners, are Scott Maxwell, who had 16, but Harry Gottsack is the most successful of the current drivers. This will be, if he can keep it where it is right now, it'll be number 9 for him, which will put him equal 5th on the all-time list with David Haskell and Don Salama, who is these days on the pit wall at Turner Motorsport.
There goes Mason Felipe. He was going to be close to getting on the front row here because he was slightly quicker in his first and second sector. No, he hasn't. He's done a 14.3, so I think he's in at the end of this lap. Hello to Jam, enjoying Michelin Port Tribe qualifying here live on IMSA Radio. Go Random Vandals and VGRC, he says. Random Vandals to come in the second part of qualifying. VGRT at the moment in 7th and 9th with Chase Jones and Victor Gonzalez in their two Hyundais.
It's a good lap by Chase Jones there, making his debut in the championship this weekend from Indianapolis.
Dai Yoshihara pits for Montreal Motorsport Group. Dye, who I commentated on at the Race to Clouds at Pikes Peak. Great. I mean, absolute global superstar in the world of drifting.
Yeah.
And not everybody's cup of tea, I know, but you cannot deny the skill levels. Built his own cars as well. He's in the pits, so is Victor Gonzalez. Gavin Ernston's taking the checkered flag in the Road Shagger car in 10th position, 2 seconds off. I don't think Gavin will be happy with that, if I'm honest. But it's all about the race.
Yeah, it is.
For those guys.
And looking after the tyres during the race.
Very good
as
point.
Well. There comes Victor Gonzalez on to the pit lane, and right behind him is Preston Brown in car number 76. And Steve Eich, the birthday boy, who looks like he's going to end up in 6th position in car number 89. Chase Jones, though, 7th position in number 80 Hyundai for VGRT.
Yeah.
He's more used to, he's done some MX5 racing, so a little bit of road racing, but prior to that, he was mainly in sprint cars, 410 sprint cars up in the Midwest. So this is a bit of a different task for him. It's a fine effort to be 7th on the grid. He'll be sharing that car with another youngster, Morgan Burkhart.
And a shout out as well for Taylor Hagler, who progressed to 4th position on her second to last flying lap, a 2:13.9.
Oh, she improved again, did she? Good for her, because I think that's her best qualifying effort. She's been 5th on the grid a few times. I think 4th would be her best qualifying.
Certainly. So that's three Hyundais in the top four, with an Audi, the Interloper, then two Hondas for LP Montour and Steve Eich. Then Chase Jones, we've been talking about. Then Yoshi, then Dai Yoshi. Victor Gonzalez, Gavin Ernstone in 10th, Preston Brown 11th, Will Talley coming into the pits in 12th.
Yep. And then the other oval track racer, Nick Tucker, in 13th. And 3 seconds off the pace. But look, he's certainly never driven a front-wheel drive car. And again, he has come directly from sprint cars to get into this thing. So... basically no testing to speak of as well for that brand new team for the series this weekend, Starcom Racing. Team principal there, Derek Cope, 1990 Daytona 500 winner.
I'm sure he's delighted that you've just reminded everybody it was 1990. You could have just said Daytona, wouldn't you?
That wasn't very fair, was it?
I think I remember watching that race all the way back in 1990.
Well, I was there in 1980.
Were you?
Yeah.
Wow. Nick Damon. Nick Damon is our BDO pit lane reporter for this part of qualifying. Good afternoon, Nicholas. Any second now, you should have Harry Gutsacker heading down towards you at the end of pit lane, which is where the poll interviews are done. Nice and toasty out there for you, Nick. Hello, Nick.
So second consecutive pole then for Harry Gottsacker. And that's the perfect way to start the season, really, for Harry. In the first race at Daytona, they had some problems during the race, unfortunately. He and the defending series champion, Robbie Wickens, so they ended up down in 13th place. So they got a bit of a deficit to haul themselves back in order to get back into the championship chase. Last year, they were the paragon of consistency. 6 second-place finishes, a third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth in the 10 races, and that was enough to win the championship. Bit galling that they didn't win a race, but to come away with the championship, well, that's the end goal, isn't it, for any team in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. For Harry Gottsacker and Robbie Wickens, that was a tremendous run last year. So they've been faster already this year. It's 2 pole positions, and they'll be looking to bounce back from that DNF at Daytona.
So, just waiting for the pole sitter to head up towards our BDO pit lane reporters. And we've got Shea heading back up there as well. Harry Gutsacker then. It'll be Hyundai, Audi, Hyundai, Hyundai, Honda, Honda. And as I say, they will line up in that order behind all of the GS cars. We'll be going green for another 15 minutes to set the GS grid for tomorrow's Alan J. Automotive Networks 120 in a few moments' time.
Number 80 car getting a tow back into the pits. It stopped at turn 17. So after that final qualifying run, Chase Jones in his debut. That comes back somewhat ignominiously on the end of a hook, but he should be delighted with that effort in qualifying. And certainly a good starting position for from which he can work tomorrow, and then hand over the car to young Morgan Burkhart.
Let's take the pole sitter then as we go green for GS. Here's Harry Gottsacker for Brian Hurd at Autosport and our BDO pit lane report.
Well, Harry, I'd say you're pretty good at this qualifying thing. Your ninth pole, meaning one more, and you've got a full season sweep. It's a little bit warmer than it was when we were running yesterday. How did that affect the balance of the Hyundai?
Yeah, you know, definitely our track, our car likes the warmer temps. The Hyundai Elantra M does really, really well in the heat. It's a good little comeback from the disappointment we had in Daytona. Really just looking forward to going to war tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a hot one again, and luckily we're in a Hyundai Elantra N.
As far as looking at tire life, you went out there, you used as little as you could and came back in. Was that more about preserving the Michelins, or are you saying to the team, guys, it's hot, I really don't want to be pushing right now?
Definitely preserve the tires for tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a long first stint. It's going to be really hot. But, yeah, you know, these Michelins hold up really, really well in the heat out here. And, just looking forward to it.
Pole at Sebring, is that a little bit extra special?
Yeah, you know, I love this place, love this track, love the people, love everything about it.
Good luck tomorrow, Harry.
Thank you.
Harry Gottsacker then, pole position for the Alan Chay Automotive Network 120 in the TCR category. Cars are rolling for GS. Here are your drivers. Ramin Abdulwahabi is out in the automatic racing Aston number 09. It's Gordon Scully in the number 2 Porsche. McCombie McAlee is Jensen Altman is out in the Mustang. Yes, he is, the 13. No sign of the 19 Van der Steur Racing Aston yet, but I presume it'll be Rory that will qualify that car. Raiden Racing has Jake Pedersen aboard the number 21 Porsche. Similar car of RS1, Stephen McAleer will qualify in the car he shares with Trent Hindman. It's Mackay Stevens for GMF Motorsports in the 34. Watch that one go. BGB, Tom Collingwood for the 38 Porsche. Carbon has Sean McAllister aboard their BMW number 39, Sean Quinlan in the 43, Stephen Cameron car.
And it was Sean McAllister, his first pole position last time out at Daytona in that number 39 car.
Behind them, it's Moise Oretzky in the 44 Baby Bull Racing Porsche. Team TGM's got Paul Halton subbing for Owen Trinkler this weekend, and he's doing the qualifying in the Aston Martin. Matt Travis for NOLA Sports Porsche, number 47. Bryce Ward qualifies the Wynwood 57 Mercedes. Bob McAlean for Core Motorsports Ford Mustang. Ted Giovannis in Team TGN 64. Amir Halim for CDR Valkyrie in the Supra, the dark blue car. Second of the Sabok Simpson Motorsport Porsches is Sebastian Carrazzo. Jesse Lazare out in the 69 Motorsport in Action McLaren. Rebel Rock have Frank Depew out in their Aston. It's the Evo car. Josh Green for Thayer's competition in the 78 Mercedes. Todd Coleman for Archangel Motorsport in the Vantage. Kelly Mosswith-Riley, Michael McCarthy in the 91. Dylan McEwen in the Turner Motorsport number 95. Francis Seldorf in the team car 96. And Paul Sparta in the 92 Random Vandals racing car. And that is everybody now out on the circuit. So let's see how long it takes them to usurp those times of the TCRs. Might take them just a little bit more time and care and effort to bring their Michelin tyres up to temperature and pressure. Jeremy, being rear drive cars, it's not just about flooring it and getting the temperature into the fronts, which you can do on the front drive car. They've got to bring the fronts up, but they can't do that with the accelerator because if you know, clearly that's going to spin the back end and put some dynamic energy through there, but you've got to then balance that and actually get the car to turn.
Yeah, fair comment. I would expect lap four, so maybe third flying lap, to be about the peak, but we might see some go even sooner than that, maybe even the second flying lap or the fourth or fifth as well. I mean, it's going to be a really interesting qualifying session. We've had the two practice sessions then, and over the course of those two sessions, we saw very, very closely matched times. The quickest time of all was set by the number 28 car. That car was fastest actually in both sessions. It was Trent Hindman who was fastest yesterday. It was Stephen McAleer who was quickest this morning. That's the number 28 RS1 Porsche. So that's certainly the car that has kind of marked itself as a potential pole sitter for this weekend. 209.786 was the best time this morning for Stephen McAleer, which was sub the old lap record. Qualifying lap record stands to Owen Trinkler at a 210.5. Fastest lap, however, of all, was set in the race last year by Robbie Foley, a 210.3.
Wow. Okay.
Already, yeah.
Well, it's clearly slightly different run plans as Bob McAleer, who was nowhere near the first out, is the quickest, 212.183. Josh Green for Thays, second quickest with a 212.5. Let's wait for the quicker cars to come round. TGM's Paul Holton, 211.3. That's more like it. I would expect to see a sub. I'm not sure we'll get down to the nines, which we did in the cooler conditions this morning, but I would think a mid 10 is going to be somewhere near mid to a high 10 maybe for pole position. I think it's a bit too warm on the track. Is it? It's still only on the track 79 Fahrenheit, 26 Celsius.
We didn't have qualifying here last year for GS. I can't remember what happened. Somebody had an off probably because TCRs were certainly, they set a very fast time last year. I can't remember what happened in the GS session, but there wasn't a pole time from 1 year ago, but the record, say, goes back to 2019 at 2:10.5. So where are we now? 2:11.3 there for Paul Holton, said, John, and just fractions ahead of Rory van der Steur. So two Aston Martins at the front at the moment, car number 46 and 19. And that Ford of Bob McAleer. That's a really good first time.
It is very good. Very impressive. Before it starts getting busy, a quick hello from Weird Hayes Racing, who's across the front stretch from us and sent a picture staring at us, which is a bit scary, actually. No, I'm only kidding, Weird. Said, we noticed an item on the official schedule, Michelin Challenge Pit Lane Autonomous Fuel Rig refuelling. Any insight to what that was? This is a bit of a guess, but what I think that is the calibration of the fuel rigs to the fuel fill times that is part of the balance of performance that IMSA use in Pilot Challenge and indeed in WeatherTech. If I'm wrong, if anybody knows better, at IMSA Radio, and I'm quite happy to put the record straight. Thank you very much indeed to Wade at IMSA Radio. And thank you, Wade, for tuning in on 100.9 FM. All right, Stephen McAleer gets down to the 10.5s for RS1. Felt he was a bit stung that he wasn't quite as quick as Trent Hindman when we were talking to him earlier on today. Thought he could have been a bit closer, but that's a solid lap. That's going to put him certainly in the mix for pole position at the end. And with this being a two-hour race, Jeremy, track position is a bit more important than if it was the longer race.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you certainly want to qualify up front, less people to pass during the race. And it'll be two pit stops most likely for the GS cars, unless there's kind of a weird number of caution periods, which of course we hope there isn't. It was a clean race, so just it'll be two pit stops for GS. It'll be a full one and a short one for the GS cars, unless with the time in the yellows they kind of even that out to make it more even splits. Second and third at the moment, then two Mercedes, kind of a 78 as Josh Green for Thays competition. Second faster, 2:10.899, fractionally ahead of Mackay Stevens. And now into the middle of those two goes Rory van der Steur. Hey, and then quicker than everybody.
Yes. Jesse Lazar. He's in a rich vein of form at the moment.
10-0, so new lap record there for the McLaren.
All right. Remember when I said I didn't think we'd get down to a 9? Forget that. Forget I ever said that. We're going to edit it out the archive. It hasn't existed. I think we might get down to a high 9, Jeremy, for a pole position. Oh, my goodness, mate. Rich vein of form for Jesse Lazar. He's been quick here this week. He was pretty dominant in the same car at St. Pete's. Very different track, I understand, in VP racing.
Slow lap for McAleer. Okay, so we're cooling the tyres down a little bit, perhaps, for Stephen McAleer. Just went across the line at 2:31. So significantly slower than his previous best, but I think he had some clear track in front of him as he headed through turn one and off towards turn three.
Yeah, he's got
28 Porsche.
Yeah, he's got Josh Green ahead of him. He's not exactly a slouch, has he?
So no, Josh is third fastest.
Yeah, so that's not so bad. Josh has got Mackay Stevens ahead of him as they go down to the hairpin. So again, see above comment. And then ahead of them, I can see Jensen Altman. He's normally not a great qualifier, but he's been working really hard on it, and he has been getting better in that Ford Mustang G4 and Jensen GT4. And Jensen has got in there as well. Now, who's he with on the track? Is that? Can't see. 30 something. There's not that many cars with a 3 in them that are in the GS class.
Paul Holton up to second position in the number 46 Team TGM Aston Martin. To me, it's 10.235, so also sub old lap record.
It's Thomas Collingwood in behind Jensen Altman as they come through the S's, trying to be honest, is down to Le Mans corner. If you weren't aware, Olivier Jean de Bihan, Le Mans winner with Phil Hill in 1962, from memory. I think he won twice, actually, Jean de Bihan. So,
9.9, there it is,
wow,
Jesse Lazar.
It is.
2 minutes, 9.915. Also improved on that lap did Mackay Stevens, but not his position in car number 34. The JMF Mercedes remains in sixth place now. So it's Jesse Lazar in car number 69, McLaren in second position. Paul Holton, Aston Martin, car number 46. Third, the kind of the favourite coming into this session, we thought, Stephen McAleer, number 28, RS1 Porsche. And then the best of the Mercedes, Josh Green, making his debut this weekend. Very impressive for the young New York State driver, car number 78 for Thayer's competition. And the second of the Aston Martins is Rory van der Steen, number 19. And then Mackay Stevens in sixth right now, but he's just brought that JMF car into the pits. Save those tyres for the race tomorrow. So four different manufacturers in the top four positions. McLaren, Aston Martin, Porsche and Mercedes. But almost a full second between them. A great lap there for Jesse Lazar.
Jean de Bihan, a four-winner at Le Mans, 1962 with Phil Hill was his last. He won 61 and 62, 1958 as well. So multiple winner. That's the corner that is named after him here. 1962, notable for being the last time that a front-engined car won Le Mans. As well, I think it was possibly the last time a car with spoked wheels won Le Mans as well, but I'm not entirely sure about that one. At IMSA Radio, Jensen Altman just went off for a moment at turn one.
Francis Seldorf,
in fact, Jensen's now stopped, pulled off safely at the exit of turn one. Shea Adam can see that and reports that to me from the BDO pit lane report.
To ninth position for Jensen Altman, and just ahead of him sneaks Francis Seldorf, last year's VP Racing Sports Car Challenge champion in a GSX class, moving up to the Michelin Pilot Challenge for this season. Remains with Turner Motorsport, who's driving that number 96 car, and impressively ahead of his teammate Dylan McAvern, former series champion in number 95, who's down in the 11th position.
Olivier Jean de Bihan as well, linked with Sebring, won here three times as well. A number of drivers that have done that. But Pipo Tirani heading towards, he's won four times here now, isn't he? Pipo, what's he going for four this year? And Olivier Jean de Bihan, also a prominent Belgian. If you're listening to Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, you'll understand that. If not, it made no. It makes no difference. Stephen McAleer, 2:10.3, stays in third position inside of the second row. He's sharing that at the moment with the Mercedes AMG of Thayer's competition and Josh Green. McLaren, Aston Martin, Porsche, Mercedes, four different manufacturers in the top four.
McAleer just went purple in the first sector, but again, a very short, just over 12 seconds that first sector. So see if he can keep the hammer down and get himself back up to the front. Their third position right now for the car that was fastest in each of the two practice sessions. One yesterday, one earlier this morning. There's number 46 car onto the pit lane with only a few seconds left. So it'll be second position then for Paul Holton, perhaps. We'll see what Stephen McAleer can do. He hasn't yet gone through the second timing loop. That long middle sector, 81 seconds or thereabouts. So it's a long, long way. The checkered flag is out, though, on this session. The second, fourth, and sixth place cars are already in the pit lane. The first, third, and fifth are not, being respectively 69 in first position right now, 28 Porsche in third position, and number 19 Aston Martin for Rory van der Sturt rounding out the top five.
Checkered flag out. I think, looking at who's still to come round, I think we can give this to Jesse.
Good middle sector there for Stephen McAleer. It was an improvement on his previous best, and most of the cars are already in the pits. What can Stephen do in this final sector? It's about a half a minute's worth.
Yeah.
There goes Ramin Abdul Vahabi in the 09 Aston Martin. He's best placed of the bronze category cars in this race, which is both two bronze level drivers.
And watch out for Sean McAllister and Sebastian Carrazzo, because they're in a very tight
there
group.
There goes McAleer.
McAleer goes to the front row.
Yeah.
RS1 then puts the Porsche on the outside of the front row. Not the worst place to be here when we start the Alan Jay Automotive Networks 120. Sean McAllister.
Lost the time in that final sector, John.
Sebastian Carrazzo did his best lap in that last run, but did not improve.
I'm wondering whether there are a couple of cars slowing. We couldn't see from here whether there are a couple of cars slowing. coming around
Could
the final corner when he was still on his last flying lap. But anyhow, it's going to be Jesse Lazar who will get the pole position here in car number 69. That'll be the third pole position for Jesse in this series. His 40th start from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. The Motorsports in Action McLaren Artura GT4.
So it is Nick Damon who's made his way down to pit out, and in a moment or two he'll be joined by the unmistakable svelte outline of the McLaren Artura GT4 for Motorsports in Action. Mia, the daughter of the team owner, as well as the initials of the team. A happy accident? I think not. Jesse, no stranger to IMSA competition, as we mentioned, took a couple of wins on the streets of St. Pete, one in very dominant style, the first race on Saturday last weekend. He had to fight a little harder for the second one, had to make an overtake for the lead, but when he did, he absolutely laid rubber.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.